Welcome to the Heart Lava Podcast on a Friday. Padres back home, two homestands, Cardinals, Giants. Jay Posner, Sports Editing Union Tribune. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How was your long, yet not that long journey?
That was, once a year, there's one of these trips where the Padres just were on the road for a week and played five games. There was the off-day travel day, you play three, there's an off-day in Baltimore, you play two, there's an off-day, and now they're home to play their 81st game of the season, that is, because my math is so good, halfway point. Padres are 40-40. They welcome in the Cardinals, Jay.
They do, and the Cardinals are 40-39, mm-hmm. and yet I would think that the feeling in the two cities is a little bit different. To me, 40-40 for the Padres is a good thing, I would think, for most people, that this team that has not been over 500 at the halfway point since 2010. They were also 40-40, I believe, in 2013, and then lost their next 10 games. So, obviously, no one hoping for a repeat of that. 40-40 seems to be a good thing for the Padres after what we've seen over the last, almost the last decade. 40-39 for the Cardinals, people not so happy. They've missed the play. You know, that's a franchise with tremendous history. What is it, 8 World Series titles?
I believe that's what it is.
You know, they fill their park constantly. They have the reputation as the great fans, and they're hot, and yet they haven't made the playoffs, like I said, since 2015. The hockey team, which had never won the Stanley Cup, just won that cup not that long ago. So there's some frustration, I think, building there. They were off to a good start, although the Padres did beat them 2 out of 3 way, way back in early April. But the Cardinals did start 20-10, so 40-39 tells us that they're 20-29. Since then, and that's about where they should be. I mean, their run differential is +9. The Padres at -27, probably a little fortunate, as we've said, to be around 500. Be interesting to see the Cardinals now on the road for the rest of the first half of the season with the Padres, the Giants, and the Mariners. Three teams that they and their fans probably think, hey, this is a road trip that we can, you know, take advantage of some weaker teams. But the Padres obviously don't feel like they belong in that category, so... What are your thoughts, Kevin?
That brings up an interesting thing because I found it fascinating. Now, of course, these stats have probably changed since I wrote them 2 days ago. But when the Padres were leaving Baltimore, the Padres were 20-20 against teams at 500 or better.
Right.
And 20-20 against teams with losing records. And it was kind of a point of contention with them, having come off the sweep in Pittsburgh, that they talked about as a group. I'm not saying team meeting. I'm saying, you know, they talk about it amongst themselves. Look, we're going to be, you know, we're not that team anymore. Like, it's baseball and all, but, like, you got to go out and you got to crush the Orioles. And that's what they did. Now, playing the Cardinals, one of the, what, two teams between them and the second wild card spot. And then, so there's obviously four teams ahead of them in terms of the race for the wild card spot. Padres 2.5 out. And then they play the Giants, and so we can talk about them playing a bad team again. But yeah, this series against the Cardinals, I mean, it could end up being one of those that you're looking back on in September. I think they'll be fortunate if they're looking back in September and, you know, they're lamenting one loss.
Right.
But
no,
the fact
I would agree.
In that position right now.
Right.
They're in that for them to believe that and to be thinking, hey, this is a big series here at the end of June. I'll tell you, that's what I think about the Padres. Hey, here we are, and we're talking about a series that matters at the end of June.
Right. There's three teams now that are between them. The Milwaukee and Philadelphia are tied for the wild card, so they're the top two. And then
Colorado,
St. Louis, and Arizona. But the Padres only a half game behind St. Louis and Arizona, a game and a half. Only a game in the loss column, the all-important loss column behind Colorado. So, yeah, I mean, if you're and at this, by the same token, Washington also 40-40, the Pirates 41 losses, the Reds 42 losses. So there's a lot of teams that are thinking, hey, we're right there in terms of the wild card. Now, the difference is the Cardinals are in a division where they're only 3 games behind the Cubs. The Padres are not going to win their division. There's, you know, the Dodgers have a 13-game lead already. I had to laugh, just a real quick aside. I had to laugh at someone I saw, I must have been on social media, complaining that the Dodgers had kind of thrown the game away on Wednesday, but with Jock Peterson playing at first base, and he had made a couple of bad plays, and the the Diamondbacks had scored runs and the Diamondbacks had won, and it was like, okay, so they threw away a game. I mean, they're 56 and 27. Sorry about that. They're 13 clear in their division. They're 7 clear in the National League. I don't think that one game here or there is going to make a big difference for them, like you're talking about, where the Padres, where one game, you know, if this turns out to be a season where everything turns out right and the Padres, and we're still talking about relevant series in September, I think that's a good thing, where one game maybe does make a difference. But again, it just shows you the difference between franchises and fan bases and where people are.
Exactly. How did we bring that full circle? That's amazing. Well done, Jay. Tell me what you know about these Cardinals. I don't think either one of us were able to ascertain the Sunday starter, but the Padres are throwing, I'll just say real quick, Eric Lauer, very good at home this year, then Chris Paddock, his second start back from his little rest, and then Joey Lucchesi on Sunday.
So it's the, I don't want to bring this up again, but it's the same three guys who pitched in Pittsburgh.
And you know what? Eric Lauer was, I thought, very good. He left up 2 runs, and only 1 was earned in his 7 innings. And then Paddock was, hey, that'll win you games at times. And you know what? Joey Lucchesi left with a lead in the final game. What I believe was the wildest game, because it was at sea level and not a single home run was hit.
Right.
And the Padres gave up 2 3-run leads when they, you know, just preserving those leads, though, either time would have won the game. Wildest game of the season, and that's saying something with this team. But the starting pitching, obviously, not the problem. Not to say that that was not a valid point, Jay.
No, I just bringing that up. So the Cardinals are throwing Michael Wacha tonight, who's had very good success in his career against the Padres, but he's been very erratic this year, a 6 ERA in his last 4 starts. And the most amazing thing about Waka's a right-handed pitcher, OPS against 1.025 as against right-handed batters, against lefties 663. So that seems to play into the Padres' hands with their heavy lineup. The Cardinals staff as a whole, 4th in the National League in ERA. They do play in a pitcher's park, not quite as extreme as Petco, but they still have better pitching numbers than the Padres do. Dakota Hudson has been their best starter. He goes tomorrow, and then we don't know who's pitching on Sunday yet. They did lose their closer recently, Jordan Hicks, which is obviously a big loss. Guy throwing 103, 104. Also probably no surprise that he had problems with his elbow as well, but that's a loss. The Cardinals' biggest issue has been their offense. They are a good defensive team. They're a good base-running team. They lead the league in stolen bases. But, of course, the old saying, you can't steal first base, and they have not been good at getting on base. I think they're 11th on base percentage, which in the National League, which is one spot ahead of the Padres. So you have the teams this week that are – the Padres are 11th in the National League in scoring runs. The Cardinals are 12th. Again, both of those are knocked down a little bit by their home parks. But you could say both teams are a little bit – offensively challenged. The Padres certainly not with home runs. Boy, imagine if this offense played every game at Camden Yards or I guess I got to face the Orioles pitching staff in every game. But that was quite a power show that they put on in Baltimore. But anyway, that's about what I know about the Cardinals. Paul Goldschmidt's been a disappointment. Matt Carpenter's off to a poor start. Marcelo Zuna's been their best offensive player so far, 20 homers, 62 RBIs.
Well, Jay, the All-Star, can we talk about it real quick? Because we're not going to do another podcast before that.
That's true. We're going to find out on Sunday. Kirby Yates would seem to be a lock, right?
Yeah, Kirby Yates, you never know what's going to happen. Who's going to say no, this, that, or the other? It's obvious that some of the other home run derby participants come out that they're, you know, they're asking guys, if guys turn them down, maybe we'll get down to Franmil Reyes and or Hunter Renfro. Look, for all that Fernando Tatis has done, he missed 34 games, and there's some very popular and very good shortstops out there.
Let me say, I didn't do all the numbers with shortstops and all that stuff and know who else is out there, but the All-Star game would be more fun from a fan standpoint if Fernando Tatis was included in the game. And You know, it's too bad that he missed all those games, because when he has been out there, his numbers certainly justify him as an All-Star, and I'm sure we'll see him in All-Star games. But I don't think anybody, number one, I'm never going to get worked up about people making or not making the All-Star game. That's just not, I just don't think it makes that much difference. And but the other thing is, I think we're going to see Tatis in All-Star games in years to come. I wouldn't think that anybody else on this team would make it. I mean, you have guys, Hosmer and Machado have decent numbers, although Machado's have only become really good in the past couple of weeks. You know, really perking up his season numbers. Renfro and Reyes with a lot of home runs. But again, you're probably not going to get any of those guys in the game. It would seem to be Kirby Yates would be the one guy that we would see going to Washington. We should mention that three minor league prospects were named to the Futures game today. That story already up on the website. Mackenzie Gore, Adrian Morahone, and I believe Luis Patino is the third.
Yes.
That made the Futures game. So that's a good sign for this team going forward in terms of, you know, of good minor league pitching, which, you know, we know that they've been stockpiling.
Regarding the Tatis, there is no doubt. Look, I'm in the middle of writing a story that's going to post later today, I assume, if I can finish it, because it's going to be a really long day, I should just tell you that, and we'll be in Sunday's paper. And so I'm reliving some of the moments here I'm watching on video, and I'm going through quotes by normally reserved veterans when they talk about a rookie, and they're gushing about him, and the story centers around why, basically, he will, you know, the evidence beyond however many games he's played, you know, well, 45, suggests that he will be an All-Star in the future. And let me tell you, absolutely, Jay, this game is better. And I would actually tune in to wait to see when it was that he played, if he were on the on the roster. But the reality is he hasn't played enough this year, I don't think, to justify it. What it is about what you said, Jay, about not getting too worked up. Look, if Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado were having the kind of years they're having, and the Padres had won the World Series last year, then Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer would be in the All-Star game, because that's how it works. So There will be a time where what it will mean, what Padres All-Stars, like three or four of them, will mean, is that the Padres won. That's what it will mean.
Yeah, no, there's no
there's no doubt
about that. And I mean, Tatis, I mean, just on the road trip, I mean, there was the, you know, the play in Pittsburgh where he's, you know, scoring from on a pop fly to second base, and then the eighth inning the other day in Baltimore where I think you tweeted that the umpires really want to get out of this eighth inning, and they kept calling Tatis out on the bases, and it would, as I tweeted, it would just be easier if they called him safe whenever
you know
he does anything, because if it's a close play, you know, almost every time it proves that he's safe. He might have even been safe at home plate. There just wasn't on that one other play, but there just wasn't a good angle to show it.
And it was the second inning. I'm convinced that he was safe, even with the perfect bounce to the catcher. I'm convinced he was safe. And you know what, Jay? You're right. And I think that's what Fernando Tatis thinks.
Right,
as I wrote
also,
he was very frustrated. And this is a humble kid. Like, I mean, he's the definition of humility, as in, you know, humility isn't like, you know, not liking yourself or lying that I'm not very good.
Uh-huh.
Humility is like knowing you're awesome and, you know, still being cool about it. And
right.
But he was frustrated with those two outs because he thought they were obvious. And it was, you know, like, dang it. Well, like, you know, he's too fast for the umpires.
He is. And it's like he'll just have to learn. He probably thought when he was in the minors that the umps aren't very good here, but boy, wait till I get to the big leagues. These guys will know what they're doing. And he gets up here and he finds out they don't know what they're doing either. And then they can't call anything right. And that's interesting to know, though, that how frustrated he was, because, I mean, it looked like he was safe on both of them, but it wasn't like it was blatant. I mean, they were both really close. They were close plays. They're tough calls, but it's funny to hear that he's so confident in himself and just his athleticism to be as acrobatic as he is with those slides and his ability to twist and turn his body. I mean, my back hurts every time I watch him do something like that, to think that, you know, how flexible he is and everything. So it's as we've said all along, the game is a lot more fun when Tatis is playing. You know, you don't leave your seat when he's when he's coming up to bat. You don't leave your seat when he's on the bases. You don't leave your seat when he's playing defense. You know, it's fun as a fan to have a player like that. I mean, beyond having someone like Machado, you know, who's proven to be a great player, it's fun having someone to be able to watch day in and day out like Tatis, who just has so much fun playing the game.
Indeed, honestly, it really is. It's amazing how it's turned, because it would be more fun this year to watch a better team. Like, I enjoyed watching bad baseball last year.
Yeah.
That's just, I like baseball exponentially better this year with winning, and then throw on what Tatis and Machado are doing. So, Padres, Cardinals, three games, Petco Park, and then we'll be back here talking on Monday, three games against the Giants. It'll be the last three home games of the first half, because the final four games, maybe they can make up four games against the Dodgers. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't. I'm going to throw one more stat at you that I read today. The Cardinals, 3-10 after off days this season. So whatever that means, whatever they did when they came out here yesterday, who knows? But it means nothing, but they're 3-10 after off days. And of course, I had to go figure out what the Padres were. They are 6-5 after off days. So anyway, it'll be good to be back at the ballpark tonight here in town in a quick six-game homestand. And we will talk to everyone again on Monday.
See you later.